It's time for Lickin' on Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's your host of Lickin' on Lending, David Lickin.
Let's begin.
Welcome, everybody. It is Monday, June 24th. How the heck are we getting so far advanced into this year? I was talking to someone at church on Sunday, and they're in their 90s. They go, oh, yeah, it goes even faster the older you get. And they would know they're in their 90s. I'm turning 69 this year. It's hard to believe, but time is moving fast, and we're grateful to have you in this fast-moving world that we're at, joining us for another podcast. Again, as we say each week, this podcast is created by mortgage professionals. It is for mortgage professionals, and we're so grateful to have you as our listener. Again, our commitment is to bring you timely information in an audio format that you can listen to anytime and anywhere. We're proud to be a part of the Industry Syndicate. Check it out, industrysyndicate.com, where listeners can listen to a host of podcasts out there, and we're proud to be a part of it. We're together, the Industry Syndicate, all of us podcasters are gathered at the Housing Wire Engage Summit a couple weeks ago in Charlotte, and it was wonderful. We had got together. It's such a fun community. But this Housing Wire Engage Summit, guys, this marketing conference was really, really good. And if you're thinking about being at a marketing conference, this is one I encourage you to check out. Also, we want to say a special thank you to a new affiliate we have, a new relationship we have, a new sponsor, the Community Mortgage Lenders of America, CMLA, has joined us. They're a D.C.-based advocacy group solely focused on mid-size and small lenders, whether they are independent mortgage bankers or community banks or credit unions. And so we're so grateful for our partnerships with all of the various entities, the MBA and now the CMLA. And so thrilled to be part of it. And I love how those two organizations work together and coordinate. So welcome. Looking forward to talking more about that. We're going to have Ed Wallace on the program. You know, we're reaching so many people. If you did not listen to last week's podcast, Father's Day special podcast with Chris George and his four sons, oh my gosh, go back and listen to it. That was really one of those super fun podcasts. The George family, the four George boys are hilarious, and there's such a tight community there. You know, it makes me wish I had more kids because it's just so amazing. So, Andy, if you can imagine, four of your sons, James, as intelligent, articulate, witty, fun, all in one room. It's just like... It's a great family, great group of people. Go back and listen to that podcast, everyone. And one of the reasons I bring that up is Chris said, Dave, I got to tell you, I really enjoy your podcast. I can see why so many people listen to it because of the format that we have. Also, on Saturday, I was talking to Jonathan Hanna. Jonathan has got quite a story. I mean, there's so many interesting life stories about people that are in the mortgage industry. I don't think he'd mind saying that, but his mom was a cocaine crack addict and passed away early along with his dad, and then was raised by his grandfather, and he passed away. He said, Dave, I was literally lost all of my family, all my loved ones. So he overcame all of that, got into the mortgage industry, and he found his why. He is so excited about serving in this industry. So got a chance to talk to him on Saturday, and it's just delightful to connect with our listeners and the impact we're having. And one of the things they say is because of the energy we bring. So we're thrilled to be a part of your lives. Many of you are saying so many kind things. It may not be right for all y'all. So as we say here in Texas, all y'all. But it is right for thousands upon thousands, and we're grateful for that. We do welcome feedback, and I do take it to heart very much on things that we could do better and how we could do it. So keep it coming, folks. Text me at 512-632-2900 if you want to give some feedback, or go to LinkedIn, David Lickin, and give me some feedback. We've got a good friend of mine, Vince Parlov, Crazy Vince, a wild, fun guy that I've known for many, many years. He's talking about how to grow a wholesale and what they're doing at UWM, United Wholesale Mortgage. A lot of people are saying, should we get into wholesale? Is this how big a movement is? And Vince is leading a particular part of that. Flagstar has a program like this. UWM has a program like this. And they're really helping independent originators go out on their own we talk about in our interview that you'll listen to. I recorded it here a week or so ago. And we talk about, is it right for you? And a lot of independent mortgage banking owners are going, Lickin, don't encourage anyone to leave. And I go, I think what we try to hold on, we lose. Number one, that's a theory I have. And I think to the extent that having people explore different options, they'll stay if they feel like they're not, you're not trying to hold on to them. Sets up a different dynamic. So anyway, Vince Parlev will be our guest. He's the Director of Wholesale Development at United Wholesale Mortgage. You'll enjoy that interview. It's a fun interview. I want to say a special thank you to our sponsors, the Mortgage Bankers Association of America, and now the CMLA, both of them. Very pleased to have them here part with us. We're here for Rob Van Raphorst in a minute. Also, Black Knight, in today's competitive world, it is critical for lenders to deliver decision-quality business intelligence to the right employees at the right time. And to answer this demand, Black Knight has developed an actionable intelligence platform that can deliver data that drives growth and reduces costs. You can learn more about it by going to their website, blackknightinc.com. Anyway, check it out. Appreciate Black Knight and all they do. And also, the press release. We're going to start talking about some of the press releases, some of the things that they're doing. Pretty cool. Open Mortgage, the leading buyer of reverse mortgages. Scott Gordon, the team over there, do a great job on that. We'll hear from Scott in a minute with the science of sales, as well as Finastra. They have their Fusion product. The Mortgage Bot solution automatically addresses compliance issues while delivering enhanced borrower satisfaction and increased productivity and greater market share. Pleased to have them as a sponsor. They're back. They're stronger than ever. Go check out Finastra, Finastra.com. Our newest sponsor is ResX, a warehouse lending, a division of United Bank. So glad to have that group with us. You're going to be hearing more about them. We're working with their advertising people to get their spot up and running, and we're going to have them on as a guest. Really important things going on in the warehouse community, and I want you to hear about it directly from one of the leading warehouse lenders and one of our latest sponsors. Also, I want to say a special thank you to Lenders One and the Mortgage Collaborative for being a part of the podcast and sponsoring it. They created these co-ops, which allow you to meet with lenders and vendors up close and personal, and some of the leading vendors and lenders that are in the industry are there. We're proud to be a part of it. Check it out. I was just talking to David Kittle earlier this morning, and they had a collabs they have, which is where they collaboratively get together. So now we have the Lenders One Summer Conference coming up in Seattle, the first week in August. Velma is an efficient mortgage email marketing platform that you can get your word out. We use them. Grateful for our relationship there, as well as Knowledge Group, providing easy, fun training for the mortgage lenders, and Vidyard, our online video platform for businesses that allows you to communicate internally with your LOs and borrowers. That's the part I like the best. And do so through effective communication on video. Finally, I want to say a special thank you to Alice, Andy, Joe, and did I say Alan? Grateful for all four of them providing content on a regular basis. Enough of that. Let's get started with the Rob Van Raphorst MBA Mortgage Minute. Rob?
Hi, I'm Rob Van Raphorst. Welcome to the Mortgage Minute and the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. Last week, the House of Representatives began consideration of a mini-bus bill. It specifically provides HUD $50.1 billion for the upcoming fiscal year. This bill also provides $300 million for HUD's Cybersecurity and Information Technology Fund, including $20 million for FHA's single-family IT infrastructure. MBA sent a letter to congressional offices encouraging support of the spending bill. Also last week, the Senate Committee on Banking, Housing, and Urban Affairs held its first in a series of hearings on the Terrorism Risk Insurance Act, or TRIA. The hearing featured witnesses who have evaluated and written extensively on TRIA. The Senate Banking Committee is meeting with key stakeholders, including the MBA, and is exploring whether there are additional reforms to improve the program and reduce taxpayer exposure without having a material negative effect on the cost and take-up rates for terrorism coverage. That's it for this week. Thanks for joining me.
Yeah, good job, Rob. Appreciate it. MBA, check out the MBA. And while you're there, I mean, all the conferences are over-the-top good. We're so grateful to have our partnership with the MBA. Also, check out the Mortgage Action Alliance, MAW, MortgageActionAlliance.com. Google it and get signed up. Does not cost you a dime, but allows you to have your voice heard on important initiatives on the Hill in Washington, D.C. Talk about a crazy world. You want to get into that world? That is amazing. I'm so grateful we have the MBA and now the CMLA both working together, coordinating to do just that. So good job. Digital business card, talk about it each week. If you ought to be checking this thing out, it just gets richer and richer. My network up is, and just through the digital business card, is now up over 21,000 mortgage lenders. My card just keeps getting shared and shared. And every time someone opens it, I get a notification. What's your card doing for you? That old paper card's kind of dead, folks. Stale. Check it out. It's on our website, Lickin' on Lending, the digital business card in the upper right-hand corner. Let's hear from Les Parker with the TM Spotlight and this week's macro view of the markets. Les?
TM Spotlight Soundbites is brought to you by LoanLogic. Sweet dreams are made of ease. Who am I to disagree? I travel the world and the G4C. Everybody's looking for QE. Last week, the European Central Bank and the Federal Reserve offered the financial world sweet dreams with their commitments to sustain economic growth. Since our trend model pointed to lower rates in November, the 10-year yields dropped over 100 basis points, led by dollar strength and global economic weakness. Last Thursday, the dollar turned negative, expected to push the 10-year yield to 2.25. Rates now head up, moving on. Keep your hedge up. These views are my own. Go to tmspotlight.com to subscribe to my daily newsletter.
Yeah. Check it out. It's a good deal. I mean, it's free. You should be checking this out, Les's daily newsletter. If you're looking for an opportunity to get your name connected with something important, Les is looking for a new sponsor for that segment, so you're welcome to get a hold of him. Get a hold of him through me or an email, les@tms-advisors.com. Appreciate it. Joe Farr, good to have you here. Dialed in. Wait, it's been wet here. I was wondering where you're at, but we had thunder and lightning, and it was loud. That's going, man, oh, man.
Yeah, well, what was there is here now, so you're
not. Well, we want to share out here. We want to make sure we share it with our Austinites. So. Good to hear. How's the markets? Is it raining on us today?
No. It's another good day. MBS prices are up a little bit, about 12 basis points. No economic data to point to cause that move. Stocks are a little higher as well. So just a continuation of the good things that happened last week. And, going back
week.
To last week, you know, it was really a good week for mortgage rates, a good week for stocks. Mortgage rates, yields fell probably 5, 6, 7 basis points. MBS prices improved about 40 basis points. The stock market gained over 600 points and closed near its all-time high. And, you know, who's to look to as the cause for that? It's, as Les pointed out, it's the central banks, both the ECB and the Fed. In a speech on Tuesday, Mario Draghi took a very dovish tone. He explained all the tools that they still have and can use and will be ready to use if they need to stimulate the economy. So that was a good boost to global bond rates, yields. And then on Wednesday, I'm sure we've all seen the Fed statement and heard Chairman Powell's press conference, but he was dovish as well. The Fed removed patience from their statement. They cited slowing global growth, lack of pricing pressure, and the rising uncertainties, and now that being the trade primarily, and maybe even some of the global conflict that we have going on. And those were all reasons they stand ready to cut rates. They released their forecast on Wednesday as part of the meeting process. And their forecast shows, as compared to the forecast they did in March, lower inflation for this year and next, and therefore they're showing lower Fed funds rates. They didn't show lower Fed funds rates this year, but they did show them in 2020 and 2021 and in the longer run. So it's a very dovish outlook for the Fed as far as inflation goes. So hence the improvement in MBS prices. The economic data that came out last week, David, really didn't have a lot of effect on mortgage rates. The housing data that came out was mixed. Even though the housing starts number was really good, it all pertained to multifamily housing. And when you dig down and look at the single family housing, which we're all mostly concerned about, it was really quite weak. But then existing home sales came out later in the week,
exceeded.
And it exceeded expectations. So that was good. Dave, looking at this week's calendar, there's a little more to be watching out for. We have new home sales tomorrow. Those are May new home sales. They're expected to show a small increase over April. And then consumer confidence for June is expected to have fallen some from what was a very good May. So it's really, even if it falls,
still strong.
It's a good number. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Durable orders comes out on Wednesday. Thursday, we'll get the third estimate of second quarter GDP, and it's expected to remain at 3.1% for the quarter. Friday's a little more important for a couple of reasons. Core PCE will be released on Friday. And that's always an important number for the Fed. And then June consumer sentiment comes out. But maybe the biggest thing to pay attention to in the few days ahead is going to be the G20 summit and the headlines that may come out of there as it relates to trade discussions. I don't know that there'll be any trade agreements or any substance to come from this. But, you know, just the fact that there might be, you know, hugs and smiles between Trump and the Chinese president could be enough to move the market some if they feel like it's...
Yeah.
It's a step in the right direction as far as this trade tariff issue goes.
Well, I think a lot of people say, you know, I was reading in the news, I just took a break before I went, started the podcast and walked in. My wife says, hey, Trump did take some action against Iran, and it was the cyber response. And so I think, I mean, there's just some things that's going on here. We'll see how this guy does, President Trump does with China, but I'm hopeful. I am hopeful. I'm a positive guy anyway, Joe, so I'm hoping for something positive to come out of all this crazy. Yeah, I know. I've been guilty of that. Yep. Guilty as accused. But anyway, the PCE, that stands for personal consumption expenditures, or consumer expenditures or consumption. What is that? Personal?
You're right. Personal consumption expenditures.
Yep.
And it's a broad measure of prices. And one in which, you know, the measure, unlike CPI, which is sort of a fixed basket of goods, this is a basket of goods that they check prices on that changes from over the time to be more relevant. And so the Fed really focuses on the core PCE number as opposed to the core CPI number.
Well, that's what I thought. And every time, the only reason I bring that up is every time I'm on national television, I start using with Neil Cavuto, it just drives him nuts when I start using acronyms. And he says, what does that stand for? So yeah, I'm starting to drag some of that in there. GDP, gross domestic product, PCE. So we'll be talking about some of that as we get into it. Got enough new people coming into the industry that are listening to the podcast, Joe, that we kind of help them through some of these economic basics. So. Good job. Appreciate it. I hope you stay dry there. Hope the weather, I hope there's no hail in it. We got by with just a lot of heavy wind, a lot of heavy rain. Not a lot of horrible wind, but so no trees down this time. Man, Texas is having one of the wettest years we've been in a whole bunch of years living here. But appreciate you being here with us, friend, so much. We're going to take a quick break and go over to Scott Gordon with Open Mortgage talking about the science of sales.
How do you really feel about realtors? Are they your referral source or your business partner? Hey everyone, Scott Gordon here with a bit of sales science. It's often said that facts don't have feelings, but behavioral scientists are discovering more and more that the way we feel shapes our reality more than facts. So facts may not have feelings, but for many people, feelings are facts. What does this have to do with realtors? Well, let me ask you. When you think of realtors as referral partners, are you really thinking of them as referral partners or referral sources? This is a very important question to ask yourself. Every action you take toward those relationships will stem from your answer. If you feel that your realtors are sources of referrals, your actions are going to be very different. A source is not a partnership. You're going to invest the minimum amount of time into a source in order to extract the maximum profit. The problem with that is your source is a human being, and they are going to feel and perceive your actions. On the other hand, if you feel that your realtors are your partners, you're going to approach them differently. Partnerships are based on establishing and providing value. There are countless ways to provide value in your relationship, but they mean little if you aren't really feeling it. So, how do you feel about your realtors? Your answer says everything. If this sounds too good to be true, it's not. It's just the science of sales.
Yeah, it's a good job. I appreciate that, the science of sales. What's so fun about that is Scott does a great job, and he really does study it and makes a science of it. But feeding him some of the information is a guy in the back room by the name of Zeblo, and he's in Atlanta. He helps Scott get some really cool stuff out there. So good job. Appreciate it, Scott. Alice Alvey is here, not recorded, live. So good to have you back, Alice. How are you doing? I hear you guys are pulling your hair out, but not in a positive way. I mean, just so busy with all the volume and low rates and volume. So congratulations.
Oh, we are. Yep. Union Home is firing on all cylinders and still keeping an SLA. So we're pretty proud of that. So, the big thing I needed to make sure everybody was aware of and watching, I'm surprised Rob didn't bring it up in his MBA segment, and that is that we had a bill go through Congress, and it's H.R. 299. It's called the Blue Water Navy Vietnam Veterans Act of 2019. So, you know, you read through it, and it's all about making sure that Vietnam veterans who were stationed on ships, especially the aircraft carriers, within the zones that were getting, you know, sprayed with Agent Orange during the day, that this group gets included in the benefits and gets the disability and the care that they need. So this is, you read the lion's share of this bill, and you go, I'm all for this. This is great. And then it gets to this lineup item that says, well, this is going to probably be retroactive, and it's going to cost about $5.5 billion to fund it. Hmm. And so the last two paragraphs decided to pick that up from the VA Home Mortgage Program. So what we're dealing with now is that on the plus side, so on the good side, effective for closings January 1st of 2020, and this is assuming the president signs this. I've been on the phone, so I haven't been able to check to see if it's actually signed. I haven't heard that he opposes it. So
no, he's so pro-vet, I'll be shocked if he doesn't sign this.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking here. So, but in any case, it should be signed here shortly. And so the good news side of it is that VA is going to change their 25% guarantee formula. So we all know Ginnie Mae wants at least 25% of the loan covered either through down payment or the guarantee issued by VA. Today, VA caps what they issue at 25% and actually sets loan limits by county. They're going to remove the county limit, and that's huge. That's really significant for the states where vets have, you know, they're in California, East Coast, you know the states that have, they have high balance limits, but they're super high. I mean, the pricing is way even above the VA limits. So that's the good news side of it. Now that you only get that one time on a subsequent use, then you'll still be capped out at 25% of a guarantee being issued minus what you've already used. But on a second time use, you'll be capped at a county limit. So that's the plus side. The downside is there will be an uptick in funding fees. And what's going to be tricky for all of us is this is based on closing date and not based on loan number application issue date.
Interesting.
Yeah, so we're going to have to start watching through this for the end of the year. You know, you could have loans in process that you've got to change. So if you picture today, a lot of your zero down loans are, it's 2.15%. That's going to go up to 2.3. So all of them are about that small little tick up in the funding fee. We know that vets roll it in, but, you know, it's going to increase their house payment. Interest rate reduction refinances, no change. That's still going to stay at the 0.5%. So we do expect that this is going to go through. Now, what's interesting is all of these will go away in 2022, the way the bill is written, and there are some of them that will go away in 2029. Who, you know, you talk about kicking the can down the road.
So funny, so true.
So that's the scoop for that, for the VA funding fee. A couple other things we're watching on AML reform that's coming out, and also you have, it's past time to be able to respond on the FHA defects taxonomy. Oh, I'm sorry. No, that extended till June 30th. You've got a couple of days still to respond to that. So that's where we're all looking for as lenders to minimize our risks and certification responsibilities. So check out that. You've got a little bit of time this week still to respond. So that's my report for today, Dave.
Good job. Excellent. Appreciate it. And that has been Alice Alvey, CMB Vice President of Education and Training at Union Home Mortgage. Say hi to Bill and Al and everyone around there. You guys are doing so well. So pleased. So pleased as it works out. And they're so fortunate. They hope
they're
only know how fortunate they are. They're good. They are a great group. I hope they know how much they value. Appreciate it, Alice, so much. Have a great rest of your week. We'll talk to you soon. Alice does such a good job, and we miss Alice out there training the industry. But, ma'am, when you got a company like this, the Union Home, they're smart. finding the strongest people and picking them up. You know, at the conference, I was at the Housing Wire conference, I ran across an old friend, Ginger Bell. She's got a book called Edu Marketer. And it's Being a Marketer of Your Expertise. It's a good book. I'd recommend you check it out. Ginger Bell's book, The Edu Marketer, E-D-U Marketer. So check it out. Anyway, appreciate it. Knowledge Coop, looking forward, fun and easy training using technology? Well, check out what our friends at KnowledgeCoop.com have to offer. Nathan, what you got for us?
Hi, Nathan here from the Knowledge Coop. How are you at storytelling? You may have seen the J.J. Abrams TED Talk about this mystery box that he got. He tells a story of his grandfather giving him a gift, but he decided, for some reason, to never open it. To this day, it remains a mystery to him as to what's inside that box. When you are teaching your courses, how can you incorporate great storytelling and a mystery box into the lesson? See, that's what we strive to do here at the Knowledge Coop. So check out KnowledgeCoop.com for fun and easy training for the mortgage professionals, all video-based and all powered by a smart digital platform.
Yeah, I love that. That's a great story. That kind of hooks you, doesn't it? How would you not open that box? I don't know. I would open it anyway. Alan Pollock could not be here live with us today, but he did get a hold of our program director, and they recorded a segment, so let's hear what Alan has via a recording. Alan?
Great to be here this week, David. Unfortunately, I'm not live. I am on my way to Canada, taking my two youngest daughters, two of three daughters, fishing. It's going to be a great week. But I caught a couple things in the news I wanted to mention. The first one is Built Technologies. And we forget about construction loans and what Built has done. So they just announced an integration with their construction finance solution with Jack Henry's Silver Lake system. And why I think this was interesting is because now they have access to enabling lenders to seamlessly manage their construction portfolio online with analytics, alerts, reporting capabilities. But more, what I'm interested in is they have data, right? They have seamless integration to data and experience. So that was exciting. And in addition to that, I wanted to mention this last week, but we had such a great topic about lowering your fees as a lender with vendors. The acquisition of Simplifile has been completed by the ICE, Intercontinental Exchange. And so Simplifile, if you remember, they have about 2,000 public recording entities, over 80% of the U.S. population, and they're a key part of the infrastructure that's needed to further drive digital transformation. Of course, that's their quote. I'm just reading it. But remember, they built a network of over 1,900 counties in the U.S. for their e-recording product. And so I think we're going to hear a lot more about what the ICE is going to do with that. So that's something you want to keep your eye on. More importantly, this is the topic I want to talk about today, Dave, wire fraud. We've mentioned this in the past. Fantastic article on Forbes. And what it is, what it talks about is a real estate wire fraud is real. It's almost happened to me. And so this article was written by one of their writers. And it says basically it all starts off with an email. And he says just days before closing on a home, he got a message from his escrow officer, or at least somebody pretending to be that escrow officer. And so the email said, our closing costs need to be wired to the title company right away, she said, or our closing date will be pushed back. And so he states his emotional state during that email, considering the 6 weeks he spent waiting to close on the property, not to mention the time that he had left in his current rental home. The message sent his heart racing. And so as he checked, the font was right, the signature was right, there was even a CC to his real estate agent, but something did seem off. And so as he took a closer look at that problem, what he found is each email address, one for the agent, one for the mortgage broker, and one for his escrow officer, there was a single character off. It was fake. And so what he wrote about is that thousands of Americans do fall victim to this every year. And we know that. We've heard stories. He lost almost $60,000. According to the FBI, as he stated, America has lost nearly $150 million to real estate scams in just the last year, and it's jumped over 1,000% since 2015. And real estate is now one of the top victims of malware attacks. Here's how serious this actually is. In 2017, so 2 years ago, Washington, D.C. couple lost $1.5 million in a phishing scam that compromised their title company's email server. And last year, a Colorado man lost $56,000 in a down payment. And last week, so this article was written in May. So last week, if it was May, a tech executive lost $260,000. And, you know, I've talked about this. There's a lot of hackers out there that have access to email servers and email accounts, and they just scan and they look for information that they can use to perform this type of phishing attacks. And here's my Dave, let's call this our unofficial tech shout out. I don't think we've really done a tech shout out in all capitals, but Texan Title adopts SafeChain to prevent wire fraud. And I saw that today. They're a family of independent, local, homegrown title agencies. They have over 20 offices in 38 Texas counties, and they use SafeWire. SafeWire is built on blockchain, and they talk about that in their press release. And they enable title agents to conduct identity verification and account ownership authentication. I'll say that again. Identity verification and account ownership authentication on both the buyer and seller in the real estate transaction, which prevents those transactions from unauthorized parties and accounts. So very important topic. I think as we look more at customer experience and the transaction, we really need to focus here. We really need to set the expectations and the experience of our customers that they're in a safe, secure, and they will have a safe transaction in their real estate transaction. A lot of transactions in there. Anyways, have a great week. Happy to be here, and I will talk to you next week.
Yeah, good, Alan. Appreciate it. Check out Alan. You can get a hold of Alan at alan@tms-advisors.com. Appreciate him talking. He's obviously in an airport as he recorded that. So grateful that he took a few minutes aside. That was good. Can't tell you how serious this wire fraud is. And we're going to get Regina Lowry on this topic because warehouse lenders are really facing this. And David Kittle and I were talking about that earlier. There's a new product out that Regina and her company, working with David Kittle, is selling that really eliminates that risk, at least from the warehouse lending standpoint. So anyway, more on that later. Good to have you with us, Prophet Doctor. There was some segment thing in here that he said, Andy, that I'm trying to pull out of my memory bank that I was all kinds of stuff started happening when Alan was, I was listening to that. So I may think of it and bring it back up. But it's good to have you here with us, friend.
Hey, so a couple quick thoughts. Yeah, Alice mentioned, you were talking about acronyms, and Alice mentioned keeping the SLA. So that's really important, but that stands for the service level agreement among the parties. And some independent mortgage companies don't even have that. It's just like, go as fast as you can.
Know what
I think
it
it's really important.
So true. They don't even know what it means. It's so true.
I think it's really important for mortgage companies to have service level agreements where the originator commits to obtaining a complete 1003, and the processor agrees to perform certain functions, and then it all heads downhill because the underwriter needs a good process file driven from a good 1003 to be able to do their job and fulfill their, so like a 48-hour underwriting turn time, that would be a service level agreement commitment from the underwriting department. So it's important to have those. That's all part of measurement and management. So, Dave, last week I spoke about the distorted financial statements from intangible revenue. So today I'm going to take it out of the esoteric cloud and talk about something that's tangible, something we all
can all understand.
Cash. Cash. Money in the bank.
Cash.
Your bank account balance.
You still use that stuff?
Yeah, you betcha. Well, maybe it's a digital transfer. But, yeah, of course, cash from an accounting perspective is transferable funds. So money in your bank account, so that's all considered cash, even though it's not literally paper money, but it's bank account balances. So maybe that's a better word. So a tangible asset is like your bank account balance. And why is having a bank account balance important? Well, we use it to like pay bills. We use it to make payroll payments. So having money in our bank account is super important. So we're in June. We're June the 24th today, and you know that means July's coming and August is coming. And what happens to a lot of independent mortgage banks during the summertime? Well, it's the Python swallowing the rat. So
yep.
I actually saw a picture of that on Animal Planet. It's really odd looking. So, but the truth is, it's probably a better analogy for mortgage companies in July and August. Is it's the python swallowing the pig. And that's the image that we've talked about many times before. But if you think about that, I mean, compared to a rat versus a pig, it's huge. The bulge is astounding. Every position in an independent mortgage bank begins to burst at the seams. You know, the LOs are super busy. The processors are going nuts. Underwriting can't keep up. They're working 12-hour days. Closing can't keep up. Customers are getting mad because closings are missed, if that ever happens, which, you know, none of our clients ever miss a closing. So it's just a stressful time. But one of the things that you have to have throughout all of this growth and volume increase, and it's the worst, the biggest volume part of the year, is cash. You got to have cash. So we got to have our warehouse lines have to have a bulge. Our warehouse line has to be able to expand to handle the volume. We also need to remember, though, what happens when we have a lot of activity. Probably everybody else does as well. Our competitors are also super busy. This is really particularly true during a refi wave. But what happens when everybody, all the mortgage lenders are busy? Well, the investors are even super busy because now the investors have to process all these purchases. So what happens when the investors get super busy? Their purchase speed slows down. And when the investor purchase speed slows down, that means we have to wait to get our cash because we've got tons of cash tied up into every single loan. The gain on sale is the biggest revenue point that comes out of a mortgage lending transaction, and we don't get the cash from the gain on sale until the investor purchases it. The crazy thing is we count the profit from the gain on sale when we lock the loan. We actually recognize it when we close the loan, but we don't actually get the cash until the investor purchases it. So we got to get that through. So the point of all this is you got to have a cash flow forecast, especially during this time of the year. You got to know what's coming next. We got to pay attention to how fast are the investors purchasing. So here's another one. This sort of ties back to what Joe was saying. So when rates go down, the loans are technically in the money, which means that we have fallout risk because customers can go somewhere else and get a transaction if that was possible. Also, when rates go down, our TBA trades, our hedge, are actually out of the money. When you have a TBA trade that's out of the money, you know what that triggers? That triggers a margin call. And what does a margin call do? It takes your cash, your bank balance. So now all of a sudden, rates are down, volume's up, borrowers are coming in fast as you can, investors are slowing down. And then what happens? You get a margin call, and you got to send $300,000 that you are going to use to make payroll tomorrow. You got to send it to the trading desk of the broker-dealer, because if you don't, they're going to shut down all trading activity. So it's like, whoops, how'd that happen?
You got to
pay attention to all of this stuff. So when we do a cash flow forecast, we've got to look at all the ins and outs, the normal stuff, revenue and expenses, expected future volume over the next 30 days, but we also have to pay attention to investor purchases. If a certain investor is notoriously slow, sell your loan somewhere else. If you've got a TBA short position trigger that's getting close, trade someplace else. Trade with a desk that doesn't have a margin call trigger, even if you lose a tick, because even though you might make a little bit less on your gain, you're going to have the money to make payroll. So you got to look at this from a holistic perspective. So there you go, Dave. I'm trying to keep it practical today, and there you go. Watch out for your cash flow during this time of the python swallowing
Python. That's so good. It's so true. We look at these different volume and these surges, and then the other thing that you and I talked about when we work together, as we get together regularly, we love talking about these things called variable costs and how do you manage your costs. So maybe you could talk about that next week, because it's such a critical point. Is do you hire all these people and just keep them all the way around, or do we do the Grinch thing? And as we get close to the holidays, we start laying off all the people we overworked during the summer months. So that's our industry. We got to talk about that. And I love your creativity in that. You do a great job on that, Andy Schell. Thank you so much. Andy Schell, CFP, CFF, CMB, soon to be PhD. When's that done? When's the PhD
We're like
official?
4 months now, Dave. It should be finished in October. I've been able to make great progress and get a lot of stuff done. So, yeah, it won't be long.
Get to add that to it. Managing partner at mbs-team.com. Check it out, Andy at mbs-team.com. Andy, appreciate
Thank
it
you,
so
Dave.
Much
appreciate it.
For you being here.
Now, where those of you are listening live, you say, okay, that's great. Now we go into the Hot Topic segment. So, and when we repost this podcast, we do a hard break, and then we repost this as a separate podcast. You can check it out at our website, lickitonlending.com, and you can look at the Hot Topic. And on the website, you'll see from the homepage, it's one menu over, and it's the programs or the segments, and you'll see the first one at the top, there is Hot Topic segment. Or if you want to listen to any segment, the Prophet, Doctor, any of our regulars on here, you can go back and listen to any one of them at any time. So I stress that every time.
You just heard an audio clip from Lickin' on Lending. And here are the sponsors that make this show possible.
Black Knight, Open Mortgage, Finastra, Resex, Warehouse Lending, a division of United Bank. So good to have them as our newest sponsor. The MBA, Lenders One, and the Mortgage Collaborative, the two co-ops in our advertising group, as well as Velma, Knowledge Coop, and Vidyard.